The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you from a well-lit corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's The Nate Darling Show, featuring Sam Platts, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels. And now, he loves him some him, here's Nate.
Hey everybody, back for the Friday episode of The Nate Darling Show.
What a do-ho.
Again? Only half of the people in the little announcement here. Diana's here.
Hell yeah.
Kareem, still silent.
He could be here. You wouldn't know. He can't talk.
He might
be meditating in the corner.
And Sam Platts in Brazil.
Hola.
No, I don't know if that's Portuguese, but there you go. Coming, Mel Gelbart back again.
What?
And Jason Casey.
Yo.
People are going to think Jason's a regular cast member. What is this, the third week, second week in a row?
Second week.
And you'll be back next week?
So, you know, hey, I just don't have a life.
Well, I love having you. That's...
Oh, I love being here.
Thank you. Coming up on the show today, we've got some more black guy news.
Perfect.
We do.
We're so equipped for that.
Hey, say the three white people and the Asian.
It involves Donald Trump. So that's fine. Plus, the best post-fight interview you will ever hear from a boxer.
Oh yeah,
I promise, it's going to be awesome. You're gonna like it. But first, before we get to any of that, any big weekend plans, Diana Hong?
I think I have a show.
Probably. Jason?
I got a show on Saturday, so come see Anti-Cooperation League.
Oh, wait. I think that's what my show... Yeah, I'm in Auburn that day. What am I doing in Auburn? But I think they're still doing a party. City Limits is closing, so they're having a closing party. And if they're still doing it, I'm going to that for sure on Friday.
Oh, sounds dope.
Yeah, which is tonight. Hell yeah, strippers!
Oh, yes. I was confused for a moment. City Limits. What? Oh,
I'm
okay.
So excited, you guys.
Oh, Friday? So that's Friday. I am not. If my fiance is listening to this, I will not be there on Friday night.
You really don't want to go to a going out of business show at the strip club.
No, honestly, I'm not a big strip fan.
I think they're just having a party. I don't think it's like going out of business. That's why I think. I don't know if they're still doing it or not. I don't know what's going on. But if I can kick it with strippers, hell yeah. And my friends. My friend's not a stripper. My friend used to manage there, so she knows everybody, and she invited me to go because she knows how much I want to hang out with strippers. I'm just fascinated by strippers.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they smell.
The first naked woman I ever saw, like, fully naked when I was 18 at a bachelor party, like, she smelled like vanilla. Like, mm-hmm. She had the vanilla, like, mm-hmm. So, like...
So now you buy your fiance vanilla stuff all the time.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, no, it's crazy though, because like now that smell like always instantly. If someone uses vanilla lotion, I'm like it automatically triggers like this Pavlovian response in my cerebellum where I just want to
have sex.
All right. So you know the plan.
Vanilla.
You know the plan for next week, Diana. Lots of vanilla lotion. And then we're going.
Oh, you poor child! Every time you go to like candles, you know what I'm gonna get you. I got a present for you next week.
I say we get a lot of vanilla lotion and we rub it all over Kareem.
Yes, or we should get a vanilla candle
when he comes back. Melanie, playing. I know you've got tonight, Friday night. You've got a big show, right?
Oh yes, we have a Fight Club.
What is Fight Club?
Four teams go in. Each round, one gets voted out until there's only one remaining team left.
Now, to clarify, that's
cash prize.
It's an improv show at the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
Correct.
Oh, I didn't know there was money involved. Oh shit!
Fuck yeah!
Oh,
shit.
Wait. Brian's actually having money go the other way.
I know, right?
What's going on? People. Next thing you know, people will be giving Mein Kampf positive reviews on Amazon.
Right? So the competitive stuff makes me nervous.
Oh, sure. Well,
yeah.
I don't like competing. I just want to have fun and play with my friends.
Yeah, that's the best part of improv. Once it starts to become a competition, it's not really fun for
me.
So I know what you mean.
I actually haven't competed in this for many rounds, and people were kind of giving me the business, so I'm trying to chill and... be a good sport, and I'm not going to talk shit about anybody because I don't like playing that way, but I'll go and have a good time with my team, and I have a great team, so it should be really fun.
Now, was this the same thing where you were the champions for this extended period of time?
No, that was a cage match.
Oh, okay. That was the Nip Pals.
Yeah, that was a two-person team, and we had a 10-week run, which Molly, my partner, is still very angry with me because at 10 weeks, I was like, you know, I really miss my house. So,
oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah. So she was mad because we could have probably gone. Hopefully we could have gone longer, I suppose. But after 10 weeks of a run, I was ready for a break. And I mean, it came with a cash prize that we didn't get paid till we stopped. So I'm just kidding. I'm also hanging out with my boyfriend's ex-girlfriend this weekend.
Really?
Ooh.
Yes. I'm one of those no jealousy girls, I guess.
Sure. But so, what's the point?
She's visiting and we're all friends and she's the one that's living in Africa.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You were talking about that before the show.
You want to have friends on different continents.
Sure.
Mm. That helps.
Yeah.
But it's
your friend's exes to be on another continent.
Right.
Wait, so this is your boyfriend now's ex?
Right. The one right before me.
You got it. You've identified it.
And it's weird because you know how they say like some people just have a clear type?
Right.
He clearly has a type.
Oh.
What do you mean by that?
That's so weird.
Boobs?
In my well, maybe that's just unique to me, but she definitely has like short. She had when I met her, she had shorter hair, glasses, taller.
Oh, shut up.
She's like me. She's kind of like, and this is hard to fucking wrap your brain around. She's like the louder, more obnoxious version of me.
Wow.
And that's saying a lot because I'm fucking loud and obnoxious. Mm-hmm. But like, she's a lot to take.
Well, that's why she's an ex.
But lovely. She's really nice. Or I wouldn't want to hang out with her. Right, I like her. She's cool.
So how'd you guys meet? Were you just like, I want to hang out with your ex?
Oh, no. I didn't like go like, you know what we should do?
Hey, we should get together with your ex and hang out.
You know, there's understanding and then there's that.
Well, you know, it's funny because when we first started dating, the first Super Bowl that we were together, I had gone back to Ohio and she went to his house to watch the Super Bowl and stuff. And all my friends were like, oh, my God, how can you allow that? I'm like, well, I can't. I mean, he's going to do what he wants to do. We didn't live together, so he can. I mean, he's boning her. I won't know.
Yeah, well, and you trusted him.
Yeah, I trust him, and I loved him. So, but then we did more stuff, and she came for Super Bowl 1 year when I was there, and I met her, and she was very offended that I wouldn't get drunk with her because I'm not much of a drinker. but otherwise, I mean, and she was bossy. She told Paul he had to go to the store to get something from the grocery. We needed ranch dressing for the chicken wings, and I told him, I said, if you fucking go to the store and get her ranch dressing, we're breaking up. Just because she can boss you around and I can't, it's bullshit.
Oh, wow.
He did not go get the ranch dressing.
You know why? This is why.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That was a good move. That was a good move. Sometimes you got to break out the power move and be like that.
Yeah, you got to assert.
So there's that. I'm working on moving.
Yay.
Moving in with my girlfriend. And so at this point, I have to give notice to the leasing company that I'm going to be out of here. So the show is moving. The show is not going away. The show will still be on Wednesdays and Fridays for everybody out there. So that's not going to change. But the location where we record is going to change. So it's the challenge of cohabitating that you have. And this is the first time I have been the person who's moved in with someone who's settled. I've cohabitated before, but it's always been either they moved in with me or we moved somewhere together.
Oh. Yeah.
And she's got a house and it's full of stuff. So she is going through now and going, okay, what can I get rid of? How do we make this work? And go through that. And she came up with a plan. And what we're going to do, and it took me a second to wrap my head around this. She goes,
get rid of all your stuff.
No.
Because that's how we do usually.
Get new stuff.
Well, before she actually invited me to move in, she would drop these hints every now and then to be like, how much of this stuff do you really need? And I'm like, what do you mean? All of it? It's my stuff. I'm going to need it. because it's my stuff.
Not all of it.
No, but I would say that your desk and then the table next to the desk look like old antique furniture, so yeah, you probably want to keep those.
Yeah, the desk was actually my parents had handmade for me when I was in high school.
Yeah, see?
That is a one-of-a-kind item.
Aww.
The maple table next to it, good eye, by the way, that is an antique. My uncle who dealt with antiques got that for me. And that little stove there was something my mom got for me for Christmas. And, you know, once your parents pass away, they're not going to get you anything else. So you tend to have a bigger emotional attachment to them than you might otherwise have.
Yeah.
And that's also functional because that little stove, not only will it lick up some fake flames, it will actually put out heat. There's an electric heater in there, so it is functional too.
Oh, it's like one of those Amish stoves, like Amish fireplaces.
That... Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So it was one of those things. I showed my mom one. I'm like, I want something like this because I think it'll be cool. And I showed her one, and it was kind of chintzy. And so she trekked into Canada to Sherbrooke, Quebec, because in Canada they have things that are still made halfway decent. And she went to Canadian Tire and found that stove and brought it back across the border, wrapped it up. I mean, it's been with me for 15 years now, at least.
That's so sweet.
So there are a few things like that. Obviously, my bicycles and, you know, my extensive collection of hats. But her idea was, and it took me a second to figure this out, she goes, we need to go through room by room and just move you in room by room. And my brain... because I'm a guy, goes logically, I'm like, but I need my bedroom and I need my... She goes, no, you don't understand. We're going to start with the living room, not your living room, the living room. So the next thing you need to bring over is all of your DVDs, because those are going to go in the cabinet. And then the stove is going to go in the living room. So the stove would be the next thing. So we're going to move... I'm going to move in room by room. Room number one is going to be the living room.
Oh, that's a good way to do it.
She's like really smart,
right? there's a reason I'm moving in, and that I'm listening.
This is so because cute. She's I'm really so smart. Excited because I like her a lot, like more than I like you. But that doesn't say much.
Well, it's true. I didn't buy anything from you on commission, so it's fair.
Yeah, it's not like you really can wear women's shoes anyway.
Nope.
We don't have your size. I mean, dude, what size are you?
In men's, yeah. 10 and a half.
Oh, we wow. don't have your size.
You work in the women's shoot in Nordstrom's, right? Yeah, you used to, okay.
Yeah.
Around, definitely not anymore. I asked for my job back, didn't get it.
Oh.
F Nordstrom's then. You can suck
must
it.
Be your sparkling like, personality.
Yeah, you wonder why I didn't get it.
It's hard having someone move in, though, because you want them to feel like it's their place and not that they're visiting.
Mm. Yeah, and she's being really good about that, too, as far as, you know, how are we going to do... Because, I mean, it's her house. She's had it decorated her way, and you... It doesn't matter how big or small the place you live is, you will fill it with stuff
mm-hmm. yeah.
in very quick succession.
Yeah.
Because I've lived in a two-bedroom apartment, filled it with shit.
Yeah.
And I've lived in a studio apartment. And you figure out how, you know, what you have for space and where you're going to go with stuff, and you go that way. So that's all. That's kind of the plan this week. And I think we're doing something else, too. We're going to go see the Amy Schumer movie at some point this week.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to watch that. I was feeling dumb.
And we've got a Groupon to learn to kayak. And I'm not sure if that's this weekend or not, because and I know next weekend we're going to Reading. But this week we've got a Groupon because we wanted to learn to kayak. And she's like, I'm not really sure about kayaking because I'm afraid I want to tip over. And I'm like, okay, well, let's go someplace like Lake Natoma, which if you're not familiar here, Lake Natoma is basically about as serene a body of water as you will ever see. It's not really moving or anything. So she got a Groupon, so we're going to go and actually learn how to kayak without drowning.
It's pretty shallow right now, too, right?
Everything is pretty fucking shallow, right? If you tip it over, you're going to hit your head.
Yeah.
Is what's going to happen when you spin that around.
You just put your hand down and write yourself.
Yeah, it's like...
You guys are the cutest couple.
So that's...
So cute, like doing activities and shit together.
Well, I'm sure Mel does things with her boyfriend.
Yeah, hang out with the ex.
Yeah.
Sure.
And Jason, you and your fiance, I'm sure, do... cute couple things.
Yeah, I made like a for our trip when we just drove to San Diego. I made like tuna fish and like had baguette and like fresh oranges, like, so we could stop and have like a picnic after I picked her up. Aww. So, yeah, you know, you do stuff. You try to make it as non-boring for your significant other as possible.
You're
right?
Making Diana sad. Stop.
Or I hate everybody.
I hate her so much. Does that make you better than that?
We're all very miserable. Yeah,
you know, like on the way back.
You guys are sweet. I really appreciate it.
On the way back from the concert in Jackson, we stopped off in near Slough House. You know where they've got the corn?
Oh, yeah.
And I was very insistent because she kept calling it corn. And Leslie is half Native American. I'm now insisting that she call it maize.
Oh, maize.
because I, you know, the commercial from back in the day when she sold it up, she goes, maize, you call it corn. I'm like, I'm going to need you to call it maize.
Sorry.
So annoying. You're so annoying.
You are the worst.
Paul watches Top Gear a lot. Are
yes.
you familiar?
It's yeah, like of course.
His favorite fucking show.
How does he feel about the Clarkson blow up and go away?
He doesn't care because they're getting a new thing on Netflix or whatever. The same three guys are doing the show again. And he thinks it's hilarious. I thought it was kind of a dick move, but he thinks Jeremy Clarkson's amazing and can do no wrong and is funny being a dick.
What is this?
It's Top Gear. It's a British motoring show.
Oh, Top Gear. Yeah.
And Jeremy Clarkson got fired and the other two went, well, we're not doing the show without him.
Yeah. So, and the showrunner too, they all left.
They're off to do their thing. They're doing a world tour now. They're doing live event world touring. And the BBC is going on with Top Gear with new hosts.
Yeah. Hmm. But Paul watches this stupid show so much. I've seen every episode too, but he's taken on calling things like, put it in the boot. This is made out of aluminium.
Aluminium,
drives,
yes.
Is a coupe. Drives me fucking bonkers.
Are you starting to swing back, Diana? Because you don't have anybody doing that.
I don't know. I think it's kind of cute when you like hang out with someone so much that they do things that annoy you. I'm a hopeless romantic. Like when I say a hopeless, like zero hope.
We'll find someone for you.
There you go. So here's the thing. So Leslie finally watched Idiocracy, and she hated it. Which made me very disappointed.
She hated it?
Yes.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I guess if you don't really look at it as being like a far, like, you know, it's like, it's not, it's
getting to be closer to a documentary.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you look at it and it's like a cartoon. Like, you look at the way I watched it was like, this is a cartoon, this live action.
Well, and here.
And like a blatant satire of.
And what I told her was the first time I watched it, I didn't love it either. But
yeah,
by
right.
the third time,
why really the fuck did you watch it? So much? It's like drinking wine. It's an acquired taste.
No, but there's a lot going on in the movie that you had to there's a lot.
Yeah.
There. You didn't like it. Either.
Is this the wait? Because I'm about to go. Like, is this the movie with? But then if I'm wrong, I'm gonna look like a ding dong.
No.
Is this the movie where Terry Crews is the president?
Yes.
I love that movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, anytime Terry Crews is in a movie, you can't really take it seriously.
I love it.
It's Dax Shepard plays a really dumb guy, and Luke Wilson is a guy who ends up
being the smartest guy.
He ends up being falling asleep or being put into like
cryogenically frozen.
It's supposed to be for a short period of time. Ends up being for 50 years, I believe. 50
years. Like wasn't it like more than that? Was like a couple hundred years or something like that, right?
Either way, it was ahead. And he wakes up and he's just a regular dumb guy, except now he's the smartest guy on Earth. And it's just chock full of little things in it, but she hated it. So, anyway,
sad.
I'm going to move past that because I found this article from Psychology Today, and it says anti-intellectualism is killing America. It starts out with the tragedy in Charleston will no doubt lead to more discussion of several important and recurring issues in American culture, particularly racism and gun violence. But those dialogues are unlikely to bear much fruit until the nation undertakes a serious self-examination. Decrying racism and gun violence is fine, but for too long, America's social dysfunction has continued to intensify as the nation has ignored a key underlying pathology, anti-intellectualism. America is killing itself through its embrace and exaltation of ignorance, and the evidence is all around us. The Charleston shooter used race as a basis for hate and mass murder is just the latest example. I'm not going to say his name. Many will correctly blame his actions on America's culture of racism and gun violence, but it's time to realize that such phenomena are directly tied to the nation's culture of ignorance. In a country where a sitting congressman told a crowd that evolution and the Big Bang are, quote, lies straight from the pit of hell, where the chairman of the Senate Environmental Panel brought a snowball into the chamber as evidence that climate change is a hoax. These are real things, people. Almost one in three citizens can't name the vice president. Diana, vice president.
Right now?
Yes.
Oh, my God. White dude. Holy fuck. What is his name? Biden. Joe Biden.
Huh. Okay. Okay, so everybody in this room can. I knew you'd be the one with most challenge.
Oh my God, I was just gonna ask you that. I'd be like,
I was
you
so
asshole.
Ready too. I was like, if he comes to me, I'm ready.
I,
like,
I got it. I got it. I got it.
You fucking dick.
Well, you don't follow politics like these guys do.
Well, I don't like politics at all. Oh my God, yeah, I got in a fight because that another fight with that girl that I was seeing because I told her, ooh, I don't know if I should admit this out loud.
Too late.
You
brought it up.
Fuck. I don't vote.
No. So she then lost respect for you.
Well, yeah. And then I explained why. And she was like, okay, those are valid reasons. And I'm like, all right. That's okay. That's fine. And then she like told me that her best friend, like she told her best friend and her best friend thinks I'm like Satan's spawn or something.
So why, like, why don't you vote?
I do not vote because for several reasons. One, I don't really believe in politics. I think it's a game.
Yes, but they're there.
No, it's there, but I just like
right.
I don't really like I don't want to like participate in something that I think it's really negative. But that's not the main reason. That's just one of the reasons.
Yeah, democracy is really negative.
Well, it's more we're more of a republic than the democracy.
Sure.
But anyway.
Sure, go somewhere where you don't need to vote. Go on.
No, but okay. So also I'm not really educated on all the bills and
that is fair.
And I, to be honest, right now with everything going on in my life, it's not a priority for me.
Sure.
To be, and I don't like being, base my vote on what I see on TV or what I hear from other people. Like I want to read the actual ballot measures, and I want to read about the actual candidates, like based on like the facts.
If only they would send you like a pre-ballot before you vote,
right?
To let you know what everything was.
Yeah,
that would be handy.
That if that happened, I would vote. Like to be honest, that's the main reason why I do not vote is because I'm just or they I don't
they do that.
They do that, but yeah. I you have to go
that,
get
you,
it right.
No, you just have to register.
But it's
your
how
house.
Big.
Register to vote.
If you register,
it's big though.
No.
It's I mean they
it's
send
a pamphlet.
It to you.
About 8 pages maybe.
Yeah, and they usually send it to you at least like a month. And
gives
you
everything on there.
Gives you the pros and cons of everything.
Yeah. And actually how the bills are written.
And website link.
So so it has with everything that's see, but that's a lot of research that I just don't want to do. I want everything in like in front of me. Like everything.
But the problem with that is there's no way to do that because everybody's got an opinion and if and there is
that's
no right
another
in front
thing
of you.
I just don't
you
like
have to
I don't
look
like
at
it.
Both sides and formulate
I don't,
your
I
own
I don't like it like J- I just I don't like it I don't like anything about it. I don't really think, like, considering how I vote and living in California, I don't think my vote really matters. And so
your
I'm
vote,
like, cool. I'm posted. Like, if I was living somewhere else, I might care a little bit more. But
you're
I
killing
don't.
Mel. You're literally killing
she's,
her.
That's kind of the look I was getting from
the,
that
the,
girl.
The vote, here's the thing is, like, your vote most, like, your count, your vote counts locally. Like, more than anything else. You mm-hmm. can affect change at the local level. Like, that's the
I
way you can do it.
I just don't care enough. Because I feel like nothing's really gonna change. I think how everything's gonna happen is gonna happen.
What was,
like,
it, what was the article about?
The problem is all the good smart people are the ones that get frustrated, and then all the dummies are the ones that still vote.
Yeah.
Right?
Because like the thing is what happens is the Republicans idiocracy is a big part of it too. Like with the Republicans, it's like all of them like I'm gonna toe the line and just vote for this. Whereas the people that are
not the sheeples.
Like you. I mean, I'm not saying you would be a target demographic of people that they want to vote.
Right.
Yeah.
You're a young female.
Lesbian.
Ethnic.
I feel like there's so much like work involved and I have really bad.
Democracy's hard.
And I'm really bad with decisions.
Let me clear this up for you because Jason referenced it. Here's what happened. If you register to vote, which you can do in a number of ways. They were doing it at the fair. You can do it when you get your license. You can do it at the DMV.
Oh, yeah, I always check no. I'll do it later.
So if you once you register to vote, they have a list of everybody with their addresses. I know that's how they're going to round you up. But still, what they do is, like Jason was saying, when there are ballot initiatives in California, plus everything else, they mail you a little thing with what the measure is, what the language is in it, and what it's supposed to do.
But don't other things get attached to things like that? Like, what's that called? Where
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. That's not this.
That's more of the legislature.
You're talking about riders that get attached to bills in the legislature.
Yeah, so that doesn't happen with this
That's what my fiance deals with, is that type of stuff.
Right. Oh,
like right. That's like the policy.
They're going to do all that shit anyway, so what the fuck do I need to do this shit for?
The ballot measures are put in front of the people of California for a up and down vote. Why do we have a high-speed rail? Because it was put out there for the people to vote for it, and more people than not voted yes on high-speed rail. So there is now a high-speed rail authority.
Yeah, that's cool. But I would have voted for that. It's already going.
Right.
So why do I... It's already happening.
Because I voted.
Yeah, so y'all are voting for me, so I don't need to vote.
Well, we're not going to be here forever. We're going to die soon.
We will die one day.
I'll probably die the same time as you guys.
I don't know. You might kill
us.
Okay,
fine. Fuck it. I'll start voting. God damn it.
You can have everything sent right to the door. I don't even have to go anywhere.
Yeah, and you can send it in, too. Like, yeah, you don't even have to go anywhere.
I thought you have to go to the
No, you can do an absentee like a month and a half before.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you can mail it in.
I'm a lifetime absentee. Everything comes to the house, I mail it.
You can literally mail it in. I like going to the polling place.
I like going to the polling place.
I like the experience of doing that. And that's my choice. Mel chooses to mail it in.
Because I have all my stuff written out and all my notes, and I don't want to have to carry schlep all that to the place. I take it and I spread it out.
See, you do shit. That's like who I would become, though, and I don't want to be that person.
But only for a very small period of
time.
Yeah,
it's like once every 2 years.
And I spend literally five or seven days doing hard reading, and then I'm done, and it goes in the recycling.
5 to 7 days.
But then when you have a conversation with some lady that's like trying to like oh, you don't like that confrontation you had would have been a much different conversation.
Yeah, I guess I should vote. I mean, I'm old enough now. I should. I've been old
enough. You've been old enough for 9 years.
Yeah, I remember when I turned 18.
You could have voted for Obama twice.
I was so excited to work on an election that I volunteered to work at the election take the ballots and stuff like that. It was so exciting, but I was also like everybody was 40 years my senior there.
You're just lucky Christiana's not here because she would bitch slap you.
Oh, I think we wouldn't be friends anymore. I was like, we should hang out. Like, just hang out. She's like, oh my God, we're so overdue. I'm pretty sure she listens to this. I'm going to get a message and be like, bitch, no.
No, what's going to happen? She says, hey, let's hang out. And then
she's going to hard sell you.
Yeah, no, she's going to bring a registration form with her be like, okay, here you go.
Yep. So back to the intellectualism. Rational public policy, including policy that allow reasonable restraints on gun access, simply isn't possible without an informed, engaged, and rationally thinking public. Some will point out, now correctly, that even educated people can still be racist, but this shouldn't remove the spotlight from anti-intellectualism. Because yes, even intelligent and educated individuals often do, to cultural and institutional influences, sometimes carry racist biases, but critically thinking individuals recognize racism is wrong and undesirable, and even if they aren't yet able to eliminate every morsel of bias from their own psyches or from social institutions. An anti-intellectual society, however, will have large swaths of people who are motivated by fear, susceptible to tribalism, and simplistic explanations, incapable of emotional maturity, and prone to violent solutions.
Is this the Tea Party we're talking
about? Sound familiar? So,
can I also, there's a really great documentary called Merchants of Doubt that's on Netflix right now, which talks about how the anti-intellectualism has seeped into policy and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And how it started with tobacco. And those same guys that kind of did the whole, like, saying that tobacco wasn't bad, like, all of that, those same guys are the ones that are anti-climate guys. Those same people, like, and it's just the same people. And they're all doing the same thing, and they've been doing that for the last 40 years.
Yeah, well, there's that's why people hate marketers. I work in marketing, and people are like, oh, it's like, you know, all we're doing is trying to convince you that our product is worth your time. Yeah. I happen to work in TV news, and I don't think you're going to really be out very much if you're like, well, let me sample that TV news. Let me see what's going on here. Some legal news then, Mel, this is going to be important for you as you play on your phone.
I was actually looking something up that I wanted to show you, but I'm not sure if I can find it.
A court has ruled, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit in Kentucky ruled that a person who butt dials another party during a conversation doesn't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. That's right. Your ass can out you.
That's terrible.
Isn't it?
This was an actual thing they had to decide?
Mm-hmm. Because
I thought that was kind of obvious.
No, because accidental calls, so there's a lot of ways to prevent such a thing from happening. That means anyone who happens to be listening in on the call that came in on their phone isn't violating privacy laws by recording the conversation. Now, that's in Kentucky. Now, why did the issue end up in court, you asked, Diana? Well, a quick background check via Courthouse News. James Huff, the former chairman of Kenton County, Kentucky Airport Board, which oversees the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport, which I editorially will say sucks, had sued an executive assistant after she recorded a conversation about board matters. While at a hotel in Italy, he tried to call the executive assistant but had the wrong number. He put the phone into his suit pocket and then accidentally called the right number. Unaware that she was on the line, he had a private conversation with the board's vice chairman about possibly replacing the then CEO. Court documents say that the assistant answered and could hear the two talking, but couldn't make out exactly what they're saying. She said hello a few times. No one heard her. At some point, she realized what was going on and said that she, quote, believed that she heard James Huff and Savage engaged in a discussion to discriminate unlawfully against the CEO, who happened to be female, and felt that there was a responsibility to record the conversation and report it through the appropriate channels. She took notes and recorded a portion of the 91-minute conversation which continued as
iPhone 6 Plus. Oh,
as he later spoke to his wife in their hotel room. The assistant then took the audio and the summary of the conversation to other members of the airport board.
I'm actually surprised by this ruling a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because a lot of times in the law, they have sort of like, if you have sort of like reasonable knowledge of, and if you have reason to believe that this is not a conversation that you are included or privy to, then there's a reasonable expectation that you're not a party to that. And so, you know, it's like eavesdropping. And so,
except
I mean,
you
that's
called
exactly
me.
What she did.
Yeah,
that's true.
I don't know. It just seems like, I mean, I guess so. Since it goes that way, like, you have no obligation to hang up.
It's one button to lock your iPhone.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what they say in the article about this, too, is that there's so many ways to make sure that your phone doesn't.
I don't even understand how you butt dial in this day and age. Like, to get to the part of my phone where there's dialing things. Mm-hmm.
It's really easy.
Yeah, it happens on my phone all the time.
See, I'm pretty
yeah.
new to this whole technology, because as you know, I mean,
you had a flip phone.
I had a flip phone, so I never butt dialed.
Nope.
But
ever.
Now, like, I have to like do a thing, do a swipe, hit the phone thing, bring up the keypad.
Well, what happens a lot of times is you put it in your pocket before it locks,
yeah,
and the phone moves back and forth, so there's sensing that there's movement, so your phone doesn't lock. And then when you get a pressure point on the screen, it hits the phone icon at the bottom. So I don't have my phone here with me, but there's a phone icon at the bottom. It hits that, and then you will often redial the last number that you called.
Oh.
Yeah, and I what I recently did on my phone is I have a Samsung Galaxy S5, but you can there's a way that it can sense if you're looking at it.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
But it can sense if you're looking at it. So,
yes.
Like, and it will lock automatically when you're not looking at it. So I have that set on my phone now,
yep.
and I do a lot less butt dialing or butt texting. I did a lot of butt texting.
Yeah, it's usually incomprehensible when you do the butt texting, unless you've got autocorrect.
Oh, yeah, those are always fun.
So that's how it happens. So be careful when you butt dial, because it can be used against you.
Since we're talking about, can we have, like, just go around and see how many of us have listened to a butt dial to see if they were talking crap about us, like, when you got butt dialed?
I totally did.
Yeah, you've done it before.
But I can't. I have a hard time listening. But then if I can't hear it, then I just let it go. But, like, I'll listen into it, and I'll be like, well, fuck it. That's their bad. Oh, I get the ruling now. But like for her, that lady though, she was like, hello, hello. Like she was trying to see if she was hearing, gonna hear some shit. Like that was her creeping. That's a little different.
Years ago,
you're getting caught creeping.
Ryan Kroll and I, the owner of the Sacramento Comedy Spot, were out drinking very late at night.
What?
And he rolled my drunk ass home. And somehow in carrying me into my home, we butt dialed from his into his pocket his wife at like 3 a.m.
You mean his then wife?
His wife at the time, who's no longer his wife. And so you hear this like little mouse going like... And we realize it's her screaming in the phone going, what's happening?
Because it sounds like he's been thrown in the river.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, so do you guys not listen? You guys never listen to butt dials?
You know, here's what happens. I will go, hello, hello, and then I'll listen to see if it's anything remotely involving me. Usually it's like the couple of times it's happened, I'm like, well, this is fucking boring and I have shit to do.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Ditto.
It's nothing where I'm like, oh, I gotta hear what's going on here, and it's like, nope.
Yeah. Same thing. It's just like curiosity of like, ooh, are they talking you shit?
And then I immediately will text them back.
Yeah. Most people are so boring. They're not talking about espionage and overthrows.
They're not talking about any. Most people are talking about nothing.
Yeah.
The thing that I hate is when somebody's butt dialing you and like you hang up. And then they butt dial you again, and it's like for like hours, like, and you just keep getting calls, and you're like, "Son of a bitch, stop talking to me."
All right, speaking of people who are terrible, Sheriff Joe Arpaio of the Phoenix area went on CNN to talk to Jake Tapper. He's got a refusal to give up the, and this is a quote, preposterous notion. End quote, that President Obama wasn't born in the United States and that his birth certificate was forged. He's been elected twice. Give it up.
Yeah, there's no going back now. Yeah, it's almost done, for God's sake.
It's done, yeah. I mean, like you lost, dude.
It's done, but he's not done, so this is what happened on CNN.
Something else that you and Donald Trump have in common, in addition to making the issue of illegal immigration a real focus, is that you've both trafficked in this rather preposterous notion that President Obama was not born in the United States and that he may have forged his birth certificate that he released. Why would you risk your credibility on issues that you care about, like illegal immigration, like law enforcement,
you know,
by getting involved in this nonsense?
What do you mean risk? I'm the chief law enforcement officer elected by the people. I have a right to investigate and speak out. So I'm not talking.
He's the sheriff of one fucking county. I'm the chief law. No, you're the sheriff of one fucking county.
That's a fancy name.
One county, you hillbilly.
Talking about where he came from. I don't care where he came from. We're working on a fraudulent, forged government document. That's what we are doing.
You're maintaining that the birth certificate that the President of the United States revealed and released to the public, you're maintaining that that is fraudulent.
That's right.
Yep.
Is there anyone, any credible law enforcement person outside of you and your organization, your contractors, who has any agreement with you on this?
No, they haven't looked at it. What, are you kidding? I'm probably the only law enforcement official that has looked into it. Nobody looks into it. They shy away from it.
Because the president was born in Hawaii.
To get someone. I don't care where he was born. I'm talking about a fraudulent government document, a birth certificate. That's all.
I don't care where he's born.
And that seems to be a violation of the law.
And you say that because there are glitches in some of the printing. Is that right?
I'm not going to get into all the technical details. I have a Smith Corona typewriter. I don't have a computer, but I have people that look into it.
He has people.
He's a Smith Corona typewriter. Shout out to the Smith Corona people.
See, this is what voting does. This was voting. This is what he got voted into office or voted into sheriff.
And,
right?
And people, certain people, felt that their vote didn't matter, so they didn't vote.
Right.
And look what happened.
Yeah,
look what happened.
And he keeps getting elected sheriff. Now, the government, speaking of government doing good things, announced that last week that four major airlines Delta, American, Southwest, and JetBlue may have temporarily raised ticket prices to take advantage of the May Amtrak crash that left 8 people dead and hundreds injured. It was in Philadelphia. The crash, which caused the major service disruptions of the Northeast Corridor, apparently led to a series of consumer complaints alleging airlines had been price gouging. No! The Transportation Department reportedly launched the investigation last week by sending letters seeking information to the four airlines. Reporters were gathered at the Christian Science Monitor breakfast, and they were told that after an initial review, pricing those four airlines gave after the crash gave the administration confidence to move forward with the investigation, but cautioned about conflating correlation with causation. And I quote, "We're looking at this from a consumer point of view. Yes, there's a natural shift in prices depending on demand following a rail shutdown. But the question is, was that beyond the pale? And we will find that out."
I just want to, like, a lot of these people use
words?
No.
What is that?
No, but they use programs, right? They use computer programs and they trend stuff. Mm-hmm. So they see a lot of people buying tickets. It could have just been like the systems automatically raise the prices because, like, oh, all of a sudden there's a run on these tickets. Let's raise. So, I mean, it.
If this is a case where it was supply and demand. There were only a certain number of flights and there was a bigger demand for them. But that doesn't. But no. Listen, if there's a natural disaster and
hey, sometimes it works out for somebody else.
People need bottled water. It's not then okay to charge them like they're at the fair and a bottle of water is
$5. Well, that's what they do.
It is if your last name is Horowitz.
So anyway, hey, speaking of the airlines, I cannot be at home for Christmas with my dad because the prices to spend a week at Christmas is so fucking absurd. I'm actually going to go the first week in December because instead of $950, if I go the first week in December, it's $450.
Right.
Oh, shit. That's crazy.
So are you telling Jesus that you're moving Christmas?
No, I told my dad that I loved him. And I'd like to be there for Christmas, but I just went home in June and I didn't love him enough to drop another $950 on plane tickets.
Word.
So that's what happened with that. But it's not Jesus' birthday is in the spring.
I don't know.
They just well, you wouldn't. You killed him. It's true.
Damn right.
It's true.
With the help of the Romans.
True. Fact.
Yeah. Users. So, yeah, the airlines do gouge you because they're like, oh, people want to travel for the holidays.
Travel.
Fuck them. Literally, let's no lube. Yeah. No lube for you.
No lube.
No lube. That's the new policy.
That always makes me think of it. They fuck you in the drive-thru.
Hey, well, JetBlue, for instance, they used to have, you could check the first bag free. Well, they've done away with that, but they don't say they're charging you to check a bag. They now have a 3-tier pricing system.
Oh, of course.
Wait, what?
Tier number one, you get no checked bags, and it's the cheapest. Tier number two, you get one checked bag, and it's a little bit more. And the third tier, which I like to call the sucker tier, you get two checked bags and you get expedited at the TSA, which means you get to get in the other line to go through the scanning machine. You still have to go through the same scanning machine and you pay a lot more. But yeah, they did away with that. So now basically Southwest is the only airline that does not charge you to check bags.
That's the only airline like I really fly though, because when I played golf, that's the only, because I had to have two check bags, and that's fucking ridiculous how much they charge you for fucking bags.
Yeah, well, a lot of them is 50. At least if you go to tier two on JetBlue, it's only an extra $15 each way.
That's not so bad.
It's not. I would rather them say, "Hey, let's just do this," and I'll be like, "All right, that's fine. That's honest." But this tiering system, I mean, you can choose not to check a bag, but it's like, fine. All right. You know, I've had enough of negativity.
Yeah.
Enough. It's time to be awesome.
Yeah.
Are you ready? It's time to listen to Cam Awesome, whose name used to be Lenroy Thompson. Now it's Cam Awesome. And he did not win his fight, but he did win best interview of the year, at least according to me.
I like that he changed his last name to Awesome, but he just went with Cam.
You got a problem with Cam?
I don't know. It just seems like, why did you go with Super?
That would be a little much.
I'm super awesome.
Nah, that would be a little much.
That's a lot much.
Let's listen into Cam Awesome.
Super awesome.
Wasn't not giving it.
He covers as much things as we cover in the podcast, so take a listen.
Winner would be, as Delvin said, because he stood up for those final 10 seconds, you bet Pero wins it in the semifinal, knocking off Awesome. Great effort. He stood by with our Tony Collins afterwards.
So later.
Thank you. We're here with Cam Awesome. Cam, not the decision you wanted. Tell us what happened out there.
I thought I was doing a lot of moving, and I thought I looked amazing, and I thought I won the first round. And I was like, oh, well, he's going to bring some more the second round. That second round came, I was like, oh, okay. I won that round as well. Cam, keep up the good work. You're truly looking amazing. Some people say you're the Taylor Swift of boxing. I'm not saying I'm the Taylor Swift of boxing, but I'm not saying I'm the Taylor Swift of boxing. The third round came. I was like, oh, they could have gave him that round. He did work a little more in the third round. But I was like, oh, Cam, freedom beat communism. And then they announced the other corner. Roja, as they will say in Espanol, which is not ESPN Deportes, but for the bilingual viewers, I feel like they can appreciate that.
Now, Cam, what was so tough about Rojo, about Red, about
Rojo? I mean, he's a very experienced fighter. He threw some good body shots, but core game on 100. I do sit-ups, so it didn't really affect me that much. I felt like I outworked him. I felt I looked amazing. I would have given myself that fight if I was a judge. But I would say, hey, Cam, you're so fast. You're working the judges' table, and you're in the ring. Keep up the good work.
Oh, yeah, and you're not going home empty-handed. You're taking home the bronze.
What do you have
to say to the fans back home supporting you, watching you? What's the message?
I want to thank everybody who's back home supporting me. It was pretty cool. I got on Facebook, and I had, like, a whole group fan page that was messaging where the fights would be. I want to thank everybody for supporting me. I'm just going to start preparing for Continentals in Venezuela. I feel like I had a great training camp, and the team was amazing. And I'm all around happy with my performance. I'm not happy with the decision. But I'll make sure I do a little more next time to make it a little more clear.
Cam, best of luck. Stay awesome.
You stay awesome.
Back to the studio.
He's like, this shit is happening for real.
I feel like I have that conversation every day at work with clients. I'm just so confused. I'm like, what are we talking about? What are you saying?
Communism.
Well, because he's fighting a Cuban, right?
Yes.
He's fighting a Cuban guy.
Yes,
he's like, ah, we beat communism, but
yeah, you know, I love the
Taylor Swift of boxing.
The Taylor Swift of boxing. Some people say I'm the Taylor Swift of boxing. I'm not saying I'm the Taylor Swift of boxing, but I'm not saying that I'm the Taylor Swift of boxing.
What the fuck does that even mean?
No, I have no idea what any of that means.
It's all in reference to Bad Blood.
Oh my god, I love him so much.
I know, that's why it's in the show. Because
Oh,
every now and then I have to give something back to rebuild your soul.
That makes me so happy.
Wasn't he just so eloquent, though? I mean, like, he was very, like, he knew what he wanted. Like, he was like, I'm awesome.
I want to be his friend.
I like when he talks about himself in the third person. Yeah.
And I said, Cam, you're looking awesome. He delivered some good body shots, but my core game's A1.
Yeah, I'm dealing. I do 100 sit-ups.
Cam, you're fast. You're judging and you're boxing. Keep up the good work.
You're working the judge's table and you're working the ring.
Oh,
keep up the good work.
God.
I would have voted for myself. I was the judge.
That's right.
I love Cam Awesome. Oh my God.
All right, it's time for this.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
First up in Cool or Tool, Arizona, Diana.
A fucking tool. That guy's a tool. I like Arizona, but that guy was a tool.
Mel.
The state?
Yes. They keep electing him.
All right. Well, and they're also deserty and dry and boring. So, Tool.
Jason?
Yeah. I have friends that live in Phoenix, but yeah. Tool. It's Tool.
I have friends live in Phoenix and they hate it.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Yeah, Tool. Up next in Cooler Tool, Airlines. The Airlines. Mel?
Well, fuck.
It's a tough one.
You know, really? The reality is, just like so many other things in this world, flying somewhere is a privilege, and if you can't afford it, I guess you don't get to fly. And and if I can't afford it, I don't get to go where I want to go, and that's on me, not on them. It's a business. So cool, they give us a privilege if we can afford their service to go where we want.
Jason. I love how Mel went all GOP on us.
Yeah, I know, right? That was pretty dope.
I will say, if
they were colluding to raise the prices and it wasn't just like a system trending type of thing, computers making the decision, then they're tools.
Diana?
I was going to say tool until Mel's speech. I might have to just say cool now.
Winner!
You know, I think the people who work at the airlines are pretty cool. I mean, most of them are gay, except for the
gay
pilots.
Flight attendants.
That's the only kind there are. Bitchy and gay.
Bitchy and gay.
And I'm not assigning a gender to that either. They come in every gender. And you know what? Overall, they get me there in one piece. I've not had a terrible experience other than trying to afford them. So, cool. And finally, and cooler tool, Cam Awesome. Jason?
Oh, so cool. Like, yeah, cool dude.
Mel?
I can't take it. I'm so square. I'm so white. I'm so in the box. I just tool because I don't get it and I can't understand him. And I just want to tell him to stop and talk linearly.
Diana?
Was she kidding or is she serious?
No, she's serious.
She's serious.
Oh my god, he is the coolest fucking dude ever. He's a Taylor Swift of boxing. I don't even know what that means.
He's
so happy.
Here's the thing about Cam Awesome. In that amount, he's cool.
Imagine spending all evening with him. You'd want to blow your brains out.
I would kill
that's
myself.
That's a good point. You know, that's a good point. God, Mel's just really comforting me.
He's like, you know that Mio stuff that you squirt in your water? Where if you squirt it in the water, it's good. But if you were to squirt that Mio stuff right directly on your tongue, you would want to cut your tongue
right
out.
Right in your urethra.
Right.
Ew. Right up your penis.
That is Cam Awesome.
That would sting.
You know, it's like I think some of it is I'm old and I don't stand for no foolishness, children. I had a conversation at work today and the woman, you know, I work with victims of crime and I love them all and I try to help them as best as I can. And this woman called today and said, "We didn't get any restitution. Where is our money?" And I said, "Well, you didn't send in any paperwork requesting any restitution and therefore none was ordered." "Well, we didn't know we had to send in paperwork to get restitution." What? And I said, "Well, we're not psychic. If we don't have your bills, we don't know what you need." And she said, "Well, that's silly."
Well, you can't argue with that.
And she followed up with, "You gave me an application for a state program to cover all the medical bills. What about that?" And I said, "Well, you're right. I did give it to you about a year ago. It was July last year. You never gave it back." "Well, I didn't know I had to give that back to you."
She just wanted to give her some paperwork to hold on to?
Yeah, so she turned in nothing and wanted to know where her money was. And I just, it's so hard to be like, "Well, let's let's just keep working forward, shall we? We'll just keep on moving through."
That's silly. That's
every day. Every goddamn day.
All right, well,
I just want to give you a hug, Mel.
Yeah, I know.
You do need, no wonder you go to the gym and do the big workout thing.
Right?
Because you need it after that nonsense. Speaking of nonsense, it's time for another edition of Black Guy News.
The Nate Darling Show keeps it 100 with Black Guy News.
These are the collected quotes of Donald Trump on the blacks.
Oh, fucking Lord. This is
quote,
Donald.
"A well-educated black has tremendous advantage over a well-educated white in terms of the job market. I think sometimes a black may think they don't have an advantage of this or that. I've said on one occasion, even about myself, if I were starting off today, I would love to be a well-educated black because I believe they do have an actual advantage." Let's flash back to 1989. "Black guys counting my money, I hate it. The only kind of people I want counting my money are short guys that wear yarmulkes every day."
Booyah!
Truth.
To 1991. "Laziness is a trait in blacks."
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, man.
2008.
Trump said, and I quote, "I have a great relationship with the blacks. I've always had a great relationship with the blacks." To 2013. Sadly, because President Obama has done such a poor job as president, you won't see another black president for generations. Don't know about that. 2014. Our great African-American president hasn't exactly had a positive impact on the thugs who are so happily and openly destroying Baltimore. 2015. And if you look at black and African-American youth to a point where they've never done more poorly, there's no spirit. And finally...
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
And you know, I have a great relationship with African-Americans. As you possibly have heard, I just have great respect for them. And you know they like me.
I don't know that.
I don't know. He refers to any group as the something.
And since he apparently knows this group so well, it sounds like there's just four of them. And they're all identical.
They're all the same.
Well, this is from Gawker Media. Who the same Gawker Media that Hulk Hogan is suing for $100 million. So.
God, $100 million.
By the way, congratulations to the SAC News and Review that Gawker Media has your back on this whole Kevin Johnson thing that your cartoon isn't racist. Because if they're the only ones backing you up, you guys must all be right. Stop posting about it. Let it fucking go.
That was,
I don't
like
know
the,
what happened.
Because they posted a picture of Kevin Johnson sweating.
Yes.
And like
it was
just
a cartoon.
Like, it was a cartoon, but it wasn't like I have a few black friends.
So Jason's in the know.
No, I have one that's very politically active, and she was like, "This is not offensive. The fact that the NAACP is saying anything bad about this is just detracting from what the NAACP does." Mm-hmm. Like, it.
Well,
they're saying it's racist because he was sweating.
Well, what they said was it was drawn much like you remember.
It was caricature.
It was caricature-y, sort of like blackface and. The way you would offensively draw black. That's what they were saying. That's what the NAACP said. And, of course, the SAC News and Review has had it in for Kevin Johnson, whether it's for reasonable reasons or not. I'm not going to get into the here or there of it. They have gone after the mayor of Sacramento very hard on a number of issues because, really, they fill one newspaper a week, the part that doesn't have the weed ads in it. Mm-hmm. Has to be filled every week with stuff, and there's only so many movie reviews that you can put in there.
Yeah, and so many like, hey, what do you think to somebody that's walking on the street?
Right, so they're filling out, and you know what? I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They may be doing the greatest journalism in the world, but you are a free weekly paper that has a ton of marijuana ads in it. People are going to question you as being a reliable source about things. And when the only... other organization that has your back is Gawker Media. And granted, I get a lot of the stories for this show from Gawker Media.
I think that says something, too.
But all the stories that you get really mad about, they're from Gawker. So just FYI, consider the source of what's going on. So that's Black Guy News. Mel, have some unfortunate news for you.
Oh, no.
You can't have any more sex toys because of this patent.
But why?
Well, see, the dream of teledildonics, or having sex over the internet using remote-controlled sex toys, has been around since the 90s. And every once in a while, new companies try to perfect the technology. But now, that dream is about to die thanks to patent trolls. First, they came for our podcasts.
Yeah.
Now they're coming for your dildos.
Oh, fucking hell.
That's right. The U.S. Patent Office isn't perfect. Sometimes they grant what's called an overbroad patent that covers way too many things, and eventually the patent gets reexamined and revoked. But getting that reexamined revocation takes time, money, and lawyers, which is what the patent trolls count on. So they buy the overbroad patent, sue people for infringing, and bet that their victims won't have the money to challenge the patent itself. So the victims pay the fees and the trolls get rich. Now, patent trolling has come to teledildonics tech.
I just love teledildonics.
Yeah, I'm amazed I haven't fucked that up. So here's the overbroad description. It is a primary objective of the invention to provide a system that permits an operator to have interactive control of a sexual aid used to stimulate a recipient that is remotely located from the operator. It is a further object of the invention to provide a system in which the operator may stimulate a recipient over current existing computer networks, such as the internet. It is yet another object of the invention to provide a multimedia event, such as a pre-recorded video feed that automatically operates a stimulation aid located at the user interface. So, and then they've got a drawing of the whole thing, which really means nothing. So basically, if you have a sex toy that can be remotely controlled using existing computer networks or controlled by video on your computer, then it is supposedly covered by the patent. And that's why patent trolling company Zoo, TZU, recently bought it and promptly tried to sue a bunch of sex toy startups for infringement. The story broke last week, where a hardware engineer named Kyle explained how the lawsuits would likely unfold. There's six companies overall being sued, including, I like some of the names, Happy Haptics, Inc., Internet Services, LLC, Holland Haptics, Wins, with two Z's at the end, in Vibes.
I like the fact that the name of the place, like, that suing is called Zoo.
Yes.
Like, and it's TZU, right?
Yes.
Like, Sun Tzu, the Art of War.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's kind of just...
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So Adam Carolla fought the patent trolls for podcasts. Who will be the bold dildo inventor? Doc Johnson, I'm calling on you right now to step up.
Yeah,
sir.
Or Pornhub, or, you know, Adam and Eve. Come on, guys.
I'm calling on you, Doc Johnson.
Who's Doc Johnson?
Man of medicine. It's the name of a sex. You know nothing about anything, do you? My God, they're the most famous line of sex toys ever.
Really?
It's so fun to have remote-controlled stuff, too. They're ruining it.
See? That's what I'm saying. So, maybe the good
doctor... I like to play with others.
Maybe the good doctor... Well, sometimes you play with others.
With toys.
Right.
Thanks for reminding me, guys, that I'm, like, alone
again. We'll set you up, all right? We'll find a nice lesbian for you, all right?
I've tried Tinder. I am not successful.
I'm not talking about Tinder. I'm talking about, like, you know, meeting somebody.
A nice somebody.
It's that won't mind your fingers, your stubby fingers.
Wow.
No, I mean, I've heard. You've mentioned it before. It's not me.
No, I never mentioned it. Fucking Kareem mentions it.
That's Kareem's thing. Diana's stubby fingers.
I haven't had any complaints so far.
Oh, as you wouldn't. Yeah. You would think that would actually be a plus.
No, because they're short. What, and they're not, like, super fat. They're just, like, stub hubs. Like, they're
yes, just, right.
They're not really... Mel's not even looking at my hands. Like, she's, like, refusing.
You had to use the whole thing then for full effect.
Yeah, like chasing Amy.
Yeah.
No, but they're not long. And I don't want to be able to, like, put my... That's a thing, isn't it? Where you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a thing.
So if you I'm going to demonstrate from the movie Chasing Amy, the scene where she explains to Ben Affleck what sometimes lesbians do on a special occasion.
It's like the 57-minute mark.
Yeah, it's later on in the movie, and so it's like so she holds one hand here to illustrate vagina,
okay,
and then takes the other hand, puts it in a position like this.
Uh-huh.
Goes, slides it up in through, and then wiggles her fingers like this.
All of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Ben Affleck.
Now, in that case, the stubby fingers would be important, because otherwise you'll scratch something. It's true. And then Ben Affleck?
He was just like, wait, what? Like, it was just, he was like, oh, no.
And she's like, well, not every day, but on special occasions.
And we could fit a baby through there. Like, she was.
But that's like a different type of stretch. Like, you can actually, that would hurt.
Well,
you gotta practice.
Just look at Pornhub and just type in fisting.
Yeah.
That's like, you'll find it all.
I don't think I want to learn those.
If you're going to be a good lesbian, you got to.
Yeah, you really do.
Part of it.
People really like all of it?
On special occasions, according to Chasing Amy.
Yes, according to Kevin Smith's script.
No.
With Joey Lawrence.
Joey Lauren Adams.
Is that a thing?
No, it's Joey Lauren Adams, not Joey Lawrence.
Did I say Joey Lawrence?
You did. Tori Lawrence is like, whoa.
Whoa. That's what he says.
That was the original sound on Cooler Tool for Tool. Whoa.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. So, Mel, do you have any help for Diana here? Because I think that's what we really need, is Diana needs a little bit of advice, sage advice from a female who not only has had a little bit of experience, but is also open enough to try things.
First of all,
not necessarily that.
Vaginas are very elastic, so just keep an open mind.
And an open leg.
And an open leg. So there's that. And also, it's so cliche, but it's not about the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. So
that's what I said, but all my straight friends said no.
It's true. I believe it's true. An enthusiastic hand, strap-on, cock, they're all great if they're enthusiastically used and used properly and with an open mind and an open ear. Because if you're not listening to what your partner wants and you're just pounding away, you could have the longest cock ever. That doesn't mean it's going to feel good if you don't know what to do with it.
Without a doubt.
You know, or vice versa. You know, all the right spots. Fucking A. It's good shit.
I think I need to go get laid.
Maybe. That's
entirely possible. That seems so fascinating.
She's like, now I want to explore with my new knowledge.
There you go.
You know, that's a thing. People get
I like
so
learning.
You get so boxed in and, you know, lots of things feel good and gay, straight, whatever. It's, you know, whatever feels good, putting whatever you want to put wherever you want to put it and you like it, then do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, by the way, there's lots of great books on sex and different things that you might want to explore. They're available on Amazon.
Where?
Amazon.
Wow.
So you can go to the Nate Darling Show website, natedarlingshow.com. Click that Shop Amazon tab, and you can shop anything. You can explore.
You can explore.
It'll be delivered to your home.
Deliver it.
In a plain package from Amazon. No one's going to know.
Brown packaging.
What's in there, or that your book isn't just, you know, a Tom Clancy thriller or the latest CD from Taylor Swift. They're not going to know that you're reading a book on pegging.
Click through.
They're not going to know that you're reading a book on fisting.
What's pegging?
Or bondage?
Pegging is when a man receives it by a woman, possibly, and a strap-on.
Oh, there's a name for that? Because my friend did that. She just told me, but I didn't know there's an actual name for it.
There's a name for everything.
And they actually referenced it on the past season of Broad City on Comedy Central. So it's not only is there a name for it, it's being referenced in popular culture.
Do you know which one bothers me the most? What expression bothers me more than any?
I can't wait.
Salad tossing.
Oh,
it makes no fucking sense to me.
Not, no.
There's no logic to that term, and I just
did that happen?
I don't know.
Like I've heard, like I really like the, like, you know, flicking the copper penny, like, you know, like, you know, or like, you know, like
I've
I like,
never
like
heard that one.
Well, yeah, like, because it's supposed to, you know, anyhow. There's a, if you've ever sucked on it, if you've ever put a penny in your mouth.
Ironically, no, but I've licked a lot of assholes.
Well, they taste one and the same.
Oh, ew, really? That's what it tastes like?
Well, if it's clean.
A copper penny?
Yes.
This is like the old shows.
It is. That's exactly like the old shows.
I hope my future mother-in-law doesn't listen to this.
Be good.
It's the education of O all over again.
I'm learning so much.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. Again,
next time I visit, I'll bring some books. I lent a book to someone.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who. They brought it back really unhappy. They were like, "This is, who could read this? It's so uncomfortable." And I was like, "Oh, well, I'm not going to now tell you that I loved it and I got off." Like, you're right, a horrible book. It's a collection of weird oddities I have.
Oh, is it 50 Shades of Grey?
No, it was
Mein Kampf.
Yeah. Pile, yes. Shalom.
I've heard from educated people that 50 Shades of Grey, like, was pretty horribly written.
It was horribly written.
And if you're into erotica, it's definitely not what you would want to read. Well, it was for like the layman. It's like the people with I don't want to. But anyway.
Now to be fair, there are plenty of people who might have just enjoyed the escapism of it. Because I mean, you're not really looking for great literature at that point.
True that.
I mean, anything with a Fabio on the cover isn't going to be written great.
Well, there's no Fabio.
See, the thing is, there's really, really well written stuff out there.
Sure.
That's why it does bother me when a book like that apparently uses like three adjectives repeatedly in a rotation. That's sad.
Well, that's what Donald Trump does, and look at him. He's very successful.
But he's rich.
He's big.
Well,
he's
now
big, successful,
rich. James is super rich now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, if you're on Amazon, they got everything. I found out they have, when we found out on the old show, one of the first shows, you can buy a red butt plug on Amazon and lube.
Yep.
So if that's what you'd like. Thanks, Eric from Portland.
Do you ever hear from Eric in Portland?
No, I don't know that he listens anymore since Larry's left the show.
Aww. The Nate Darling Show. Click through. Amazon.
Hey, and I figured out what the problem was. Last week, I wasn't getting the show refreshed in the feed. And it wasn't just this show. It was the Adam Carolla show, too. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I turned my iPhone off and back on again. And that was the problem. It wasn't iTunes.
Oh, man.
Thankfully, it wasn't the website either.
Yeah.
It wasn't iTunes. It was I needed to return my phone off and back on again. So if you're having problems getting the show, turn your phone off and back on
hard
again.
Hard reset.
If you're...
It's like the first thing they say when you call tech support. It's like,
yeah, but it's your phone.
Yeah.
It's your phone.
Oh, I do that all the time. Whenever stuff starts going weird, I always turn off and on. Like my car started freaking out the other day.
But it wasn't. Here's the thing. Everything was working. And other podcasts were coming through. It was just this show and the Adam Carolla show.
Ugh.
And I figured if it's the Carolla show, there's a problem because it's the most popular podcast in the world. So, yeah. All right, let's take this thing out with this.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
All right, it's time for Camping Memories and Little Bits. I love the music and enjoy a little trivia. As the years roll by, though, many lyrics have escaped me like a slow leak in your car tire. When my busy head was searching for this week's topic in the middle of the night, one word stepped front and center. Camping! So let's talk camping. My troubled mind is more bizarre than that of the average bear. See, for some reason, it conjured up an old song the vast number of my readers will not recollect. A few history buffs will be humming along with me while the rest of you are left in the lurch. It's called Tenting Tonight.
This is still a fucking thing.
Or Tenting on the Old Campground. To set the record straight, it was written by a man named Walter Kittredge in 1863 and became popular with the Union Army troops during the Civil War. But my late mother had the sheet music crammed onto the piano stool, and we sat around singing it more than 70 years ago. That's what our families did after supper.
Friends we love so dear. Many are the hearts that are weary.
It was a sad song about war and death and homesickness and all the rest, but it's stuck in my young memory and has remained there. My own tenting memories are far more pleasant, and I'll conjure up just a few. As a young lad, my brother Jim and I joined our parents traveling to the campgrounds in Beacon, New York, as well as all the way up from Westchester County to the Moores Campground here in northern Clinton County. The old canvas army tents on wooden platforms had a special odor that is hard to describe. And the services in what they called the tabernacle were full of fire and brimstone. Kay and I have also tented with our family many times throughout our long relationship and marriage.
That just sounds like a Woody in your pants.
I seem to recall spending a lot of time trying to waterproof the tent. Seems
I bet
to
you did.
To keep the rainwater out. Once, at a campsite near Lake George, we went to sleep confident the tent wouldn't leak. That changed when I woke up a few hours later in a driving storm and felt for my trousers. They had soaked up about 15 pounds of water. We scrambled into the SUV for the rest of the night. By the way, that's really how you should camp. I'm just saying. That's how you should camp.
You know what you can do is if you want to find a waterproof tent, you can go to the Nate Darling website and click on the Amazon link and get a waterproof tent.
It's NateDarlingShow.com.
Sorry.
You're like me when I try to plug it. I always fuck it up.
I screwed it up.
From there, it was pop-up campers.
Oh my God, there's more?
And then they were only slightly better. On one memorable occasion on Cape Cod, I was jolted awake to the sensation that I was falling, and I ended up in my BVDs on the ground after the metal supports gave out under the bed. The neighbors cheered. We spent over 40 years at our all-time favorite place called Coles Creek on the St. Lawrence River between Messina and Waddington. Family, friends, music, and marshmallows over open fires gave us magical memories, enough to last for a lifetime. Over the past 30 years or so, we graduated to tow-behind, hard-sided campers with many home comforts. The sunsets there rivaled those we enjoyed in Hawaii and have had thousands of photos to prove it. Friends from the Plattsburgh area and many from other countries, states, and Canada joined us each year for 2 weeks in July. Campfire stories, long walks, games of dominoes, and hundreds of good books to read. How can you beat that?
Oh my God, like so many ways.
While you were reading this, many of those same folks are camping at Coles Creek. We are not. It's a lot of work preparing for the annual sojourn, and we decided after last year to pack it in. We sold our truck and the camper and spent a lot of time reveling in the ambiance offered by our enclosed back deck along the beautiful Saranac River in Morrisonville. Do we miss camping? Sure thing. As a matter of fact, we're visiting our family and friends on the St. Lawrence right now for a couple of days while sleeping in a nearby motel. Oh, the times they are a-changing. Let's all sing the tenting song.
I can't fucking deal with this. This is a fucking thing.
We're tenting tonight on the old campground. Give us a song to cheer our weary hearts, a song of home.
I'm tenting
and friends
right
we
now.
Love so dear.
In my pants.
I'm tenting.
That's right. Columnist.
Did you smell vanilla?
Columnist Gordy Little, weekly contributor to Denton Publications. He can be reached at gordy@denpubs.com.
I forgot.
Thank God you don't have to email him, gordnk@AOL. He's progressed to a work email.
So
good for him.
I wanna like have you emailed him and told him that you read his shit?
No.
This guy must be pretty like 70 years ago. Like he's old, right?
He's like 78, 79. And I've met him. He's a really nice guy.
Right.
But this is small town news. It's not about the news or the way it's written. It's the fact that this is printed in a paper and distributed for people as news and entertainment. Because it's a small town.
Well,
being that their core demographic, I'm sure, is probably 70-year-old people in the first place, it hits right up that alley.
It annoys me so much.
I really like you.
Mutual.
Aww.
He's like changed my mind about so much today.
I'm here to help.
Diana's going to go looking for some good penis.
Okay, not that much.
Oh, no, yeah.
Have not influenced me that much.
No, both are good. Enjoy both.
Yeah. Oh.
Your chocolate and your peanut butter and your chocolate, whatever.
Whatever. I mean, yeah. It's.
Wait, truffle butter?
Truffle butter, I found out what that. I see. You know, you're getting old when, like, you used to be on top of things, like, you know, knowing terms like truffle butter, and then when you find out what truffle, like, I know I'm old because I found out about that way too late. Like, there was already a song by Nicki Minaj about truffle butter, and I was like,
oh, that's how I found out what it was too. Yeah. Was by the song, and then I had the Urban Dictionary it because everyone was like, that's gross. I'm like, I don't get it. And then because I was like thinking the candy, like. Like, or like truffle butter, like actual like food product. And then I Urban Dictionaried it. Because I know what butter is and I know what truffles are. And I just put them together.
You're at the food co-op going, excuse me, do you have any truffle butter? Is that the organic aisle?
I was watching MasterChef and they actually had somebody that made some truffle butter one time. And I was just like, yeah. I mean, it's a thing. It's a real thing.
Right.
But, you know, it's also a real thing. You know?
It's a thing and a thing.
It's a thing and a thing.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thank you for sitting in, Jason. Thank you for sitting in, Mel.
Yay.
It's lovely to have you.
In your cold-ass fucking apartment.
Hey, we need to keep it at a certain temperature.
It's cold in here. There must be some tourists.
I'm a big guy, so.
Yeah.
And I'm hairy, so.
Exactly.
I'm always warm.
Yeah, you are.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm feeling you.
You're like a bear, but bear means something else in my culture.
But a straight bear.
I'm a straight bear.
So that's like, but that defeats a bear, right?
You're like a little cub-sized bear.
That's so cute. That's such a cute description.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Be good. Don't blow your fingers off. or anything like that, because that would be bad.
That would suck.
I know, I know. By the way, this is the last show of July. So,
God, where the fuck has the time gone?
Yeah.
You're getting old. Goes by fast.
Yep. August. Honor, remember to say rabbit, rabbit before you talk to anybody on August 1st.
Why?
Rabbit, you'll have a, yeah, you'll have a good month.
Who came up with that?
I don't know. I heard it on The Tonight Show from Jessica Simpson. No, no, it was not. It was, oh, the other dumb blonde girl, Sarah Jessica Parker.
She's less dumb than Jessica
Isn't
Simpson.
She on she's on BoJack Horseman now, right? She's been a... Yeah.
She's the horse, yes.
Oh, shut up.
Hey.
I'm glad you got that.
Oh, I get it.
I take those kind of jokes very personally. Okay.
No,
I have a long,
beautiful.
Long horse head.
No, you're beautiful.
I used to get teased in school.
Aww.
I don't care. Fuck them bitches.
Yeah, fuck them. You're beautiful.
Thank you. And I got big old titties.
She does.
Well, congratulations, Paul. You're a lucky man. have a great weekend. Thank you again, Mel. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Diana. Kareem will be back next week off of his 10 days of silence.
He'll have a lot to say.
He will have a lot to say.
Oh, he's just going to be quiet.
But here's the fun thing. I'm waiting for that completely changed Kareem that he was talking about. It's like, no, you don't understand. This thing, people in prison went into it, and they came back and gave up prison gangs. So I really want to know how different he is.
Yeah, me too. I'm really curious.
And the thing is, he's a pretty laid-back, cool guy in the first place.
He's
so like, how much cooler and laid-back can he get?
Or will he go full Carlton?
Oh.
He may go full Carlton.
Oh, dear God.
Or he might go full, like movement. Like, you know, like, yeah. Full, like, I...
If he rolls in, going to roll in with a dashiki?
Oh, my God.
What you're saying? We'll see. Well, the mystery of Kareem will be solved next week. Until then, have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.